what is an object that I could find that would deal with mothers? So I began to read Scripture, and I found one that I'm going to use. It's not really that purpose, but that's what I'm going to use this morning. I believe that one of the things that girls learn early in life, I don't know if it's taught to them by their mother, or by their peer group, playmates, by the television programs, but most girls early in life learn to be what we call fashion conscious. That is, to wear the latest style and to be seen only with brand names that are recognized by most people as being the end name. You know, not just jeans, but are they a certain brand of jeans? We take the Chronicle, and I think every day in the Chronicle there is a section of the paper devoted to fashions. And they show pictures there of the latest trends and what you can expect in the future. And so clothing is the object this morning that I'm going to talk about. The Bible mentions somewhat information about clothing, but it's something that you and I are familiar with. My closet is full of clothes, most of them out of fashion. And that's probably true of you. They change the fashion so quick that our clothes just don't last that long. And we have to put them up instead of wear them out. But anyway, clothing is something that you and I will probably buy until the day we die. We just imagine that that's what one of our expenditures will always be. And it's referred to in Scripture on several instances. You know, the first thing that man ever made on this earth was clothes. Think about that. First thing man made was clothes. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 7. This follows the disobedience of Adam and Eve when they ate of the forbidden fruit. And verse 7 tells the consequences. Immediately their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked, and they, first thing they made, they sewed themselves together clothes, I'm paraphrasing this, made out of fig leaves. And they made themselves coverings, that is, made themselves clothes. Now, God was not satisfied with their first creation. They were out of style, as far as He was concerned. They did not have on the right fashion as far as God was concerned. And so in verse 21, we find He corrects this. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin, and He clothed them. I've been told that your clothes can make you or break you. That is, your clothes can make you more appealing, can make you more attractive, can make you more winsome. Or on the other hand, if they are not the right kind of clothes and not the right style and not the right fit and not the right color, they can work against you and make you unappealing and make you unattractive and make you unwinsome. Now, Adam and Eve's first choice of clothing made them unappealing to God. He didn't like the way they were dressed. And so He designed for them clothes that suited and pleased Him. Now, most of us don't dress to please the Lord. We dress to please the fashion people around us, those that we are associated with day in and day out. Now, there is some truth, how much I don't know, that a person's clothes reveal something of their own personality. They say your clothes tell about yourself in some respects. They tell about what you like, and it reveals what you dislike, by the way you choose. It reveals your favorite colors. It reveals some wishes that you have by the way you dress, the values you hold, the expectations you might have. All these things, it is said, in some respect, are revealed in the clothes you choose to wear and you choose to buy. As another saying is, you can't tell a book by its cover. That is true to a point. But you can get the general idea of what the contents of the book is about by the cover. Now, clothing sends all kinds of messages to people. The message about your neatness. The message about, if you are not neatly dressed, I doubt if you'll be a neat housekeeper. Yeah, things sort of run in the same level. It tells about your taste. Some of us just don't have any taste, I guess. It tells us about our morals. I can look at the clothes some folks wear, and I can tell you about their morals. Or they don't wear, I can tell you about their morals, you see. your interest. Your clothes can even reveal many of your interests. Sometimes we wear things that reveal you like dogs, got dogs on. And you look at clothes and they do tell something about you. It said of job applicants that your first appearance is very important to those who interview you. How much? I don't know. Now, enough about clothing in general. This is Mother's Day, and I want to talk about women's apparel. And I want to take my text from the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 31st chapter, and I want to read several verses to you. First of all, verse 10, a question is asked, who can find a virtuous wife? If you can find one, her worth will be far above rubies. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Now there's where I got the object, clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. Verse 28 through 30, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband will do the same, and he will praise her. Many daughters have done well. He says of this one, you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. But from these verses, I want to make an observation. In God's eyes, virtue is the only garment that truly should be worn by a girl, by a wife, and by a mother. Virtue is the garment that God wants the Christian woman to wear. Not long ago, my wife called attention to a book that she was looking at. It was a book about girls who were going to debutante ball. I don't know what you do to debutante ball, but anyway, they were going to go to one. And one of the pages of this book had a poem on it by a mother of one of the girls who was one of the debutantes. And she was telling the girl, I guess, a moral through this poem, and she recommended in the book that all the other girls in the debutante ball would agree with her that this was something important for every girl. I want to read to you what she put in the book. Once a servant was by his master beseeched to go out and gather his favorite fruit, the peach. The servant took a pail and was on his way to do so as he had been commanded that day. Approaching the peach tree, his eyes glistened and gleamed, for the peaches were more beautiful than all he had ever seen. He rested his pail upon the ground and vigorously shook the peaches down. So big and sweet-looking, seemingly full of perfection, they all came tumbling down, with one exception. Looking up at the tree, far out of reach, he saw one big, round, beautiful peach. Assured that next time the peach would fall, he took a firmer grip on the tree and shook. Brushing himself off, he looked up to see, but the big beautiful peach was still in the tree. So he got a ladder and proceeded to climb, saying, I know I'll get that peach this time. Then there came a tutor with the flute. Said he to the servant, I'll gladly play you a tune for some fruit. The servant said to the tutor, certainly, all in this pail I give to thee, for this one still in the tree has become more special to me. I shook and shook to no avail. It yet would not come down to be placed in my pail. So you see, all the others are of no concern. This one alone is the one for which I yearn. Now, the mother's advice, also placed on the same page, was, I would like to beseech every young woman to be a virtuous woman, be a peach out of reach. I like that. Be a peach out of reach. Out of reach of the devil, out of reach of the world, and out of the reach of the lust of the flesh. Be a peach that the world can't reach. Be a peach that the devil can't reach. And be a peach that the old sinful nature within you can't reach. And that's the way to be a virtuous person. God wants women to be dressed in virtue. It was a song that I learned when I was a kid. I'm not sure it was written during my early childhood days, the date of it, but it was one that was well known. I liked it. It was a simple tune. It was simple in words. I want a girl, some of you may know it, just like the girl that married dear old dad. Now, I can't sing it to you, but you've heard of it. With today's divorce rate, what it is, and marriage free-for-alls going on all around us, this song seemingly no longer has any interest. But a lot of boys say, I don't want a girl like the girl that married dear old dad. But I can't find any other kind, implying that his mother was not a virtuous woman. I think it's getting harder to find a peach that is still out of reach. I really do. The newspapers are continually attacking noted people that they're not peaches out of reach. And we are disappointed, and we are shocked, and we're embarrassed. But today we're living in a time when it's harder and harder to find a mother who is a peach out of reach. One that the world hasn't gotten to and ruined and spoiled. But there are some. And let me say this to you, a virtuous woman will make a virtuous wife. And a virtuous wife is required to make a virtuous mother. What do you mean be virtuous? Well, by that I simply mean that you set as a goal that you will be pure in your heart and pure in your conduct. Just simply be pure. It means that you're going to be respectable, not in the eyes of people, because people have continually lowered their expectations as to what is respectable. Today, what I call despicable, there are those who call respectable. I do not. But a virtuous woman is a woman who calls respectable what God calls respectable. She bases her judgment on what is right and wrong on what God says is right and wrong. Not what some fashion magazine might say, or some actor or actress might say, or some neighbor might say, or anyone might say. But a virtuous woman says, I am going to be respectable in God's eyes. Respectable means that you will dress yourself in righteous clothing. You'll do right in God's sight. That makes the best kind of wife, and that makes the best kind of mother. That you will dress yourself in God's designs. You will wear God's fashions. All the world may ridicule you and poke fun at you and say you're old-fashioned, but virtue, folks, is what makes a mother blessed in the eyes of the husband, in the eyes of the children. It'll cause the children to praise the mother. I was raised by a blessed mother. She was a virtuous woman. My wife was raised by a virtuous woman. My children were raised by a virtuous woman. And I tell you, it makes all the difference if that becomes the criteria that molds and shapes the mother. They are truly a peach. And this old world prunes. They are really a peach. And they only stay a peach by staying out of the reach of those that would contaminate and ruin and defile and debauch and smear their character. It was this kind of mother, and I believe Wyatt, that the writer of Proverbs speaks of. And he says in other parts of this same chapter that it was because of her virtue, she was so kind, and she was so considerate, and she was so attentive, and she was so energetic, and she was so loving, and she was so trustworthy, and she was so devoted. I tell you, you can trust a virtuous mother. You can trust a virtuous wife. No matter what, you can trust her. There are some folks that won't let their wife out of their sight because they're scared what she'll do. You can trust a virtuous wife, because she's going to do what pleases God. And if that's true, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about at all. Now, I think it's important that we understand something about clothing that I haven't said yet, and about fashions. And that is that you really have two people to clothe. You say, what are you talking about? When Adam and Eve made fig leaves, they made that to clothe their physical bodies. When God made them clothes of animal skins, symbolically he was making them clothes for their spirit and their soul. He had in mind the inner man in his clothes making, whereas they had in mind the outer person when they made the fig leaf dress garments. Many of us don't realize that you have an inner man and that he is to be clothed. We don't pay much attention to that. We don't go out to the store and buy clothes for the soul. I think sometimes you go to church and you learn about them. We are to clothe our soul with what? The garment of virtue. Men and women, folks, the garment of virtue should be put on and worn by the inner person. I want to say this morning. I am, and you are, what your inner garment is made out of. I'll tell you that. The person you are this morning is not the person that wears the clothes. The person you are this morning is what is worn on the inside. If there is virtue worn by the spirit and the soul, you will be a virtuous person on the outside. I'll know that. I can look at you dressed up in a blue serge suit and tell nothing about you. I can't tell whether you're honest or dishonest, whether you're a gambler or whether you're a drunkard. I can't tell anything about you just looking at you in that blue serge suit. But I can stay around you for a while, and I can follow you around, and I can eavesdrop on you, and I can tell you what you're wearing on the inside. Because you'll tell me what you are, and what you are is what you're wearing as your clothes. Now, the mother that you are and the mother that you make and the way that you will raise your children and the way that you will treat your children and the things that you will teach your children and the things that you will allow your children to do will all be determined by the kind of clothes that you wear within. Everything you do is going to be based on that person within and the clothes that that person wears. If you wear virtuous clothing on your spirit, then it's going to reflect in the way that you treat your children, the way you treat your husband, what you teach them, what you allow in your home, and what you don't allow in your home. It's all going to be based on what you wear on the inner man. The peach that is out of reach is first shaped by the peach within, I guarantee you. If a girl is not a peach without, she's not a peach within. If a mother's not a peach without, she's not a peach within. I'll guarantee you. From out of the inside, we speak what we are. And we show the whole world what we're wearing on the inside by the way we act on the outside. Any girl who excels in godly living, who excels in fearing the Lord, and who excels in keeping His commandments, adorns herself with the beauty of the Lord within. She is wearing the beauty of God's character, the beauty of God's graces, and she will make the ideal mother, past, present, and future. I think the virtuous mother has learned one of the hardest lessons of human nature to learn. It's one that all of us are supposed to learn, but it's not easy. And that lesson is a virtuous woman has learned to devote herself to one thing. And that one thing is to be pleasing to the Lord, first and foremost, in everything she says, in everything she does, whatever she wants to accomplish in life, it's based on, will it be pleasing to the Lord? Her dealings with her children are framed by the question, will what I'm about to do, with what I'm about to buy, with what I'm about to say, with what I'm about to consent, will it please the Lord? I mean, that question is priority for the virtuous woman. That's a hard lesson for us to learn. We pride our freedom so much in this country. I'm free to pick and choose, go and do as I please. The virtuous woman says, no, I have given up that freedom. And my pleasure is to please the Lord. That is a virtuous woman. All right? That's a hard lesson to learn. James gives us another definition of virtue in the book of James, the first chapter, James 1:27. He mentions a lot of things here that are desirable. First of all, he says, be undefiled before God. That's virtuous. Be undefiled before God and your heavenly Father. You should also visit those who are fatherless orphans, and you should visit widows when they're having trouble. And then last of all, and this I think is another definition of virtue, keep yourself unspotted from the world. A peach out of reach will not get contaminated by the world's reach. Never reach her. Unspotted, unsoiled. And so God is saying to each of us this morning, especially the women, don't allow the world to spot your clothes. Women especially know what it means to wash a dress, iron it, and then get somebody to put a spot on it. Don't allow the spiritual clothes that you wear of virtue to be spotted by the things you see on TV and by the things you read in magazines and by the temptations that the world offers you. Don't allow yourself to be spotted. You know what the world's philosophy is towards what you wear by the inner man? Theirs is just simply, devote yourself to what pleases you. Devote yourself to whatever lust your flesh may have. Cater to the pleasures of your carnal nature. Devote yourself to just being whatever you want to be. Enjoying whatever you want to enjoy. Devote yourself to self-pleasure, self-wants, self-appetites. Well, if that's the philosophy that your soul wears, well then, you're going to devote yourself to pleasing the world. You're going to devote yourself to pleasing the old sinful nature. And you're going to devote yourself to pleasing the devil, if that's what you're going to do. Close with this. A virtuous woman knows best how to love her children. What is love? It's something very hard to give. Love requires a sacrifice. And probably one of the first people who must make a decision about sacrifice when a baby is born is the mother. Most men put that pressure on her. If the baby cries, hey honey, the baby's crying. You see, hey honey, you must make the sacrifice. You must diaper them, you must bathe them, you must feed them, you must clean them, you must rock them. Sacrifice yourself, honey, for that baby. But you know, if she's not a virtuous woman, she can tell her husband, you go bump a stump. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to a party. Bye. You know? Now, that, you see, is what's happened today in a lot of marriages. The girl that got married wasn't virtuous. And now that she has a child, won't automatically make her virtuous. She never has sacrificed. She never has learned to yield to the wants and desires of God, so she's never learned to yield. She's always had her way. And so now she has a baby. We got a problem. She says, well, now, I hate it. Somebody else can take care of it. Not me. I've got my plans, and I'm not going to run them for this baby. You see, sacrifice is very needed for a mother. To sit up, to deal with that child day in and day out, you have to be awful dedicated. You have to be awful sacrificial in your love for that child, or you'll neglect the child. And there are neglected children. What's wrong? The mother doesn't love them. What's wrong? The mother does not have virtue. The mother who is willing to make her sacrifice is the mother who has learned to be virtuous. She'll make the best wife, too. She will cook your dinner. She will make your bed. She will sweep your floors. She will make the sacrifices of her time to make the house look nice. But only a virtuous woman will do it. She alone will overcome selfishness. The hardest thing to overcome. A mother usually learns the hard way. She's forced to care for her child. If not, the child will never learn the same virtue. I think virtue is learned by the child from the mother. As the child watches the mother make sacrifices, then the child realizes what love is all about. Because that is the sum total of love. I'm going to have to sacrifice my plans and my money, and my wants, and my wishes, and my dreams, and my time, and my energy, I'm going to have to sacrifice them for you. You're the one going to get all the benefits. You're only getting in, I'm only giving in. That's love. And most folks just can't love that way. A virtuous woman knows all about that kind of love. It's something that's rare to find today. Oh, a lot of boys and girls saying, I love you, let's get married, have no concept of love. None at all. If she said, oh, then you're going to sacrifice your life for me. He said, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you ever propose to a girl, I want a girl that'll sacrifice all of her happiness for me. You wouldn't get one candidate. You're going to get one offer. But that's what it's all about. A husband sacrifices for his wife's pleasure. She sacrifices for his pleasure. The child grows up to sacrifice for mom and dad's pleasure. They never learn that too easy. Unless you teach them. Most people wear clothes that are selfish in design instead of selfless. There was a saying many years ago, I don't know where it came from, and you don't hardly ever hear it. It was peachy keen. You ever heard that? Peachy keen. It's one of those little slang words that pops in here and there. But Peachy Keen means virtuous woman. They're hard to find. I want to say to women this morning, we've got some fine women in this church that are virtuous. I want you to always be a peach out of reach. Out of the reach of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Just be a peach out of reach. Stay clothed in virtue. Father, we're thankful this day for the virtuous women that we have in this congregation. For the high level of sacrifice that they're willing to make for their children, for their families. We're thankful that they have chosen to dedicate themselves to pleasing you. They walk the way that you would have them walk. And we want to praise them this morning for having done so, for having this rare gift that is so hard to come by in this day and time in which we live, that makes them so unselfish, and makes them so willing and so giving and so pliable. May the children this morning recognize the value of a virtuous mother. May we give thanks this day for the one that raised us, if she be a virtuous woman. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.